And welcome back to 2019. I hope you had a relaxing holiday and are refreshed and ready to hit the semester hard. We have an exciting semester lined up for you, and our weekly end topics include exercise, disease prevention, time management, healthy relationships, sexual health, nutrition and body image, having a safe spring break, alcohol, financial health, stress and mindful meditation, social well-being, and finally, tobacco and other drugs. We are excited to have some great guest speakers lined up, so subscribe to our show on the podcast app or on Spotify so you never miss an episode. Today, we'll be starting the semester by discussing the ACSM exercise guidelines, exercise intensity and heart rate, benefits of exercise, and specifically cardiovascular benefits. I'm Warren Martin, and this is the Project Health Podcast. So our first topic is the ACSM exercise guidelines for adults. Now, the ACSM is the American College of Sports Medicine, and they suggest that adults between the ages of 18 through 65 should participate in physical activity of moderate intensity for a minimum of 30 minutes daily for 5 days a week. Alternatively, adults could engage in aerobic activity of a vigorous intensity for a minimum of 20 minutes daily for 3 days a week. Additionally, at least 2 days of the week should consist of muscular strength and endurance exercise. To account for all that exercise, both the CDC and Mayo Clinic in 2018 provided some suggestions on how to get more exercise throughout the day. They suggest walking around campus can be a great way to get some aerobic exercise, and it doesn't require expensive equipment or training. Another trick is to spread out exercises throughout the week, which can also help meet fitness goals and avoid fatigue. Now you might be asking yourself, what good comes from working out? Well, the Mayo Clinic in 2018 said that physical activity can boost energy levels and endurance by shuttling oxygen and various nutrients to tissues in the body, eventually improving muscle strength and endurance levels. It can also help with falling asleep and getting better sleep overall. With regards to mental health benefits, exercise can help with depression and anxiety. Physical activity stimulates chemicals in the brain, which contributes to feelings of happiness and relaxation. Now, as a student here at the University of Alabama, there are a variety of different group exercise classes offered at both the Student Recreation Center as well as the Robert E. Witt Student Activity Center. These classes are both free for students to attend and are a great way to get exercise. However, working out can always be incorporated into a busy schedule. So if you might think that you're too busy to go to the recreation center or to a group class or even make it to a gym, there are tons of online resources that provide great sources of inspiration for at-home exercises. Now, also, it's important to remember that any form of physical activity is better than none. Now, along with the ACSM guidelines, there is another one, and that's put out by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. So they create a physical activity guideline from the ACSM guidelines. Now, while both guidelines still encourage any sort of physical activity, as some is better than none, but both sets of guidelines focus on the importance of sitting less throughout the day and finding opportunities to move around throughout the day. For adults, the HHS key guidelines recommend 150 to 300 minutes of moderate intensity physical activity or 75 to 150 minutes of vigorous exercise each week. In addition, muscle building exercises should be performed for a minimum of 2 of the exercise days each week. As with the ACSM guidelines, performing moderate intensity physical activity that extends past the 300 suggested minutes can lead to increased health benefits. Now, physical activity is when there is movement of the body that stems from skeletal muscle contractions, allowing the energy spent during the process to rise above the base level. Exercise is a certain type of physical activity which is planned, continuing, and has an overall end game to improve the health of an individual. Physical activity can help with proper development, growth, functions, sleep, and reduction of some chronic diseases, just to name some of the benefits. Exercise is an inclusive experience in that almost everyone gains advantages, including both biological sexes and all ages. Pregnant women can also exercise to help reduce the chance of becoming overweight, as well as the chance of getting gestational diabetes. There are a variety of additional benefits from physical activity that everyone experiences differently. Looking at physiological benefits, exercise can prevent excessive obesity and aid in weight loss. Additionally, physical activity increases high-density lipoprotein, HDL, which is the good form of cholesterol that decreases harmful cholesterols in the bloodstream. This increase reduces the risk of developing cardiovascular diseases. Exercising regularly can also help to prevent or alleviate a variety of health conditions, including stroke, hypertension, type 2 diabetes, and arthritis. So now we're going to shift over and we're going to talk about exercise intensity, and that can be determined by monitoring heart rate and by monitoring breathing rate. So how do you know how intense you should be exercising? Well, according to the Mayo Clinic, exercise intensity is all about how hard a workout feels while completing it. Moderate activity is when an exercise is somewhat strenuous. A clear sign of moderate activity is an increased breathing rate. After about 10 minutes of activity, an individual usually experiences light sweating. The ultimate test is whether or not an individual is able to talk during the movement of a workout. The harder the exercise, the more difficult it is to talk during the workout. The Mayo Clinic also defines moderate exercise as reaching 50 to 70% of an individual's heart rate maximum. In comparison to moderate exercise, vigorous exercise causes shortness of breath, sweating after just a few minutes, and an inability to talk uninterrupted. Vigorous exercise is defined by reaching 70 to 85% of a person's maximum heart rate. So then, how do you calculate your target heart rate zone? So a target zone is the heart rate at which a person's heart muscle is being exercised and conditioned, but not overworked. To calculate the maximum heart rate, take the number 220 and subtract your current age. This number is then the highest heart rate in beats per minute that an individual can reach during exercise in general. To calculate the target zone, multiply the calculated maximum heart rate by any percentage for various types of exercise. So for moderate exercise, it should be 50 to 70%, and for vigorous, it should be 70 to 85%. Now by knowing your target heart rate, that can help maximize your workout. So maximum benefits from working out come from exercising in the moderate and vigorous intensities. The American Heart Association recommends a heart rate of 50 to 70% of a person's maximum heart rate, and then the maximum heart rate for vigorous exercise, again, as we've said, is 70 to 85% of a person's maximum heart rate. So during workouts, start by aiming for the bottom of the range of the intensity and gradually increase. Keep in mind that the target heart rate zone is just a guide and varies from person to person depending on sex, genetics, and fitness level. Now, an important reminder from the Mayo Clinic is that intensity depends not only on your heart rate, but also how you feel and perceive your workout. The University of Alabama Student Recreation Center is a great place for students to exercise and improve their physical health, and there are many resources available, such as cardio equipment, weights, a pool, and personal trainers that can help you safely attain that heart rate and train in that heart rate zone. So consistent exercise intensity, along with perceived fitness, can also affect the enjoyment of a workout. In turn, exercise enjoyment directly influences exercise retention. So the more enjoyable exercise is, the more likely an individual is to continue that exercise. Higher levels of perceived fitness also correlate with the effort put into the workout. So to lose weight, longer and more intense exercises are the most beneficial. The more strenuous the workout is, the more calories that are burned, resulting in weight loss. However, moderation and gradual increase in intensity are the safest ways to exercise. Sporadic and intense exercises that the body is not conditioned to perform can be adverse. So the Mayo Clinic gives us another comment about target heart rate, and that is that the target heart rate can vary from person to person depending on factors including gender, genetics, medications, and fitness levels. Those with a higher fitness level have usually a lower resting and maximum heart rate, which would decrease the target heart rate. People who take blood pressure medications also have a lower heart rate. In addition, males and females have slightly different heart rates, but these differences do not constitute a significant difference for people who casually exercise. Some populations, including those who are over the age of 55, diabetic, or have risk factors for heart disease, should always consult their physician before starting a vigorous exercise program. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to be talking about the benefits of exercise and specifically cardiovascular benefits. But right now, let's hear from our favorite sponsor, the Student Health Center. Health and well-being are the University of Alabama's top priority for each student. The Student Health Center and Pharmacy is here to be your medical home away from home with a commitment to delivering outstanding healthcare and educating UA students for healthier living. Services include a general medical clinic, women's health services, psychiatry, allergy and immunization clinic, as well as nutrition counseling and an on-site pharmacy. Their strong community relationships make it convenient to refer subspecialists if needed. With 62 hours of operation, the Student Health Center and Pharmacy has among the highest hours of accessibility of any SEC school during the academic year, with both night and weekend options. Check them out on campus at 750 Peter Bryce Boulevard, right by University Recreation. I love the Student Health Center, and I can personally vouch for them. That's where I got my flu shot. It was great. It took about 5 minutes, painless, and now I feel protected. Really important, especially as we're still in the height of flu season, to go ahead and go get your flu vaccines And that's going to be actually the focus of our episode next week. So we'll learn lots more about vaccines in general, and specifically why everyone should get their flu shot. But now let's refocus and get back to talking about exercise, and specifically the short-term and long-term benefits of exercising. Now, the biggest trouble with exercise is, how do I fit it into my routine? Well, it can be difficult to incorporate exercise into a busy school and work schedule, but even small changes can help to improve overall fitness. Take the stairs instead of the elevator, or hand wash your vehicle rather than going to a car wash. It's really easy to make regular exercise more fun by being active with friends and family. Listening to music or watching television while exercising can increase motivation to continue. Now, do you know that exercise has other health benefits besides just weight loss? Regular exercise has been proven to build muscle and endurance, reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease and stroke, relieve stress, increase energy levels, and promote self-esteem. Conversely, a lack of exercise is associated with hypertension, diabetes, and cardiovascular disease. Additionally, lack of exercise increases the chances of developing cancer or having a stroke. Now, besides the physical benefits, exercise also helps improve mental health. Studies have shown that regular exercise can help treat mild depression with similar efficacy to antidepressant medications. Exercise promotes neural growth and activity patterns in the brain, bringing feelings of calmness and well-being throughout increased endorphin production. Physical activity can even reduce symptoms of ADHD by enhancing the brain's neurotransmitters related to attention and focus. Some short-term benefits of exercise is that regular exercise has been shown to improve mood. Physical activity stimulates these brain chemicals that increase happiness and self-confidence. Also, exercise promotes better sleep quality by making it easier to fall asleep quickly and deepening sleep patterns. Exercise can be fun and social, as group exercise classes and sports teams make it easy to meet new people while improving your fitness. UA offers many exercise facilities to students, such as the Student Recreation Center and the WIT Center. Some of the services offered include group exercise classes, personal training, and competitive sports such as softball, flag football, soccer, and basketball. There are many different ways to get active off campus as well. There are various gyms in the Tuscaloosa area that offer a range of activities such as CrossFit, kickboxing, Pilates, barcode, as well as pickup leagues for frisbee, basketball, and softball. However, some of these programs do require monthly payments. Now, while we've talked a lot about the guidelines from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the ACSM, it's important to also talk about how we actually do these activities, right? How do we hit that 150 minutes to 300 minutes a week of moderate intensity, or 75 minutes to 150 minutes a week of vigorous intensity aerobic physical activity? So it's recommended that adults engage also in some muscle building exercises for at least 2 days a week, incorporating different muscle groups. Moderate activities include catch and throw sports, so playing baseball, softball, volleyball, basketball, doubles tennis, biking on level ground, walking briskly, and water aerobics. Some vigorous activities include running, fast cycling, singles tennis, and jumping rope. Rules of thumb for exercise from the Sutter Health Palo Alto Medical Foundation in 2015 is to start slowly. Significant improvements in health can come from just squeezing in small amounts of exercise each week. Increasing the volume and intensity of the workout should be done gradually to prevent injury and allow the body to adjust. Stay hydrated. Drink water before, after, and during exercise. Warm up. Before the main part of the workout, it's important to warm up with activities including walking, a light jog, or stretching. Stretching after the workout can provide benefits such as reducing soreness, preventing against injury, and increasing flexibility. In order to obtain maximum benefits and avoid injury, allow muscle groups to heal post-workout and give the muscle group at least 1 to 2 days before engaging the same group again. Now let's transition to talking specifically about the benefits of cardiovascular exercise. So cardiovascular exercise has many health benefits. Therefore, understanding what cardio is and how to incorporate it into an exercise routine is important for us to know. So what is the difference between weight training and cardio? Weight training is classified as an anaerobic exercise, while cardiovascular exercise, aka cardio, is aerobic exercise. The body uses different sources of energy for each type of exercise. Weight training is propelled by energy from the body's muscles, where cardio uses energy stores from carbs, fats, and protein in tandem with oxygen. Cardiovascular workouts can be maintained for longer periods of time than weight training, depending on the intensity of the workout. Now, how many types of cardio do we know about and can use? So cardiovascular exercises range from walking to skiing with many options in between. Walking is the most widely used as it is easy to adjust pace to an individual's needs and requires no equipment. Other options include biking, using machines such as stair climbers and ellipticals, swimming, jogging, and dancing. Cycling is appealing because either a regular bicycle or a stationary bike at home or in the gym can be used. It is also known to be less harmful to the knees and hips than walking or jogging. So now that we've outlined what cardio is, let's talk about the benefits of cardiovascular exercise. So aerobic activities have a multitude of health benefits. They help to maintain or lose weight, increase strength and stamina, and improve the immune system. Mayo Clinic also gives other benefits, which is that cardio strengthens the heart, lessens plaque buildup in the arteries, improves mood and sleep quality, and lengthens lifespan. Regular cardio lowers the risk of preventable health conditions like obesity and diabetes, while also lowering blood pressure levels to reduce the chance of stroke and heart disease. There are multiple forms of cardiovascular exercises, one of the most popular being HIIT. HIIT is high-intensity interval training, and it's a rigorous work phase that usually results in reaching 80 to 95% of a person's maximum heart rate, followed by a recovery phase that is around 50% maximum heart rate. HIIT has been proven to be a good method to increase cardiorespiratory fitness. So Penn Medicine also says that HIIT workouts have been proposed to increase the delivery of oxygen to the muscles from the heart and lungs. This is known as VO2 max and can be used to measure aerobic ability. Cardio exercise helps reduce the risk of cardiovascular disease. Contrary to common belief, cardiovascular disease can affect persons at any age. Smoking, a family of history of cardiovascular-related health problems, a poor diet, a sedentary lifestyle, and drinking alcohol are all risk factors for cardiovascular disease. However, regular exercise can help lower that risk. Some people are genetically predisposed to cardiovascular disease. For people who have a history of cardiovascular illness, such as high blood pressure and stroke in their families, it's important to exercise regularly and reduce lifestyle habits that increase that risk, such as smoking and drinking. Setting unrealistic goals of diet and exercise can be detrimental to overall health rather than improving it. When starting a new cardio regime, a few factors must be considered to allow the body to properly support that physical activity. According to the U.S. National Library of Medicine in 2018, when changing exercise habits, make sure that the diet can support the increase in physical activity. If an individual is unsure about whether or not a diet and lifestyle are supporting one another, consult a dietitian. Stay hydrated when exercising and do not exercise in extreme heat or cold. Dehydration can lead to exhaustion, fatigue, and muscle cramps. And finally, overexercising or not resting enough in between training sessions can be extremely detrimental to a person's health. Symptoms may include chronically sore muscles, heavy feeling limbs, difficulty sleeping, and physical injury as a result of overusing the muscles. It is recommended that the amount of exercise is reduced or completely stopped for 1 to 2 weeks to allow for recovery if these symptoms are experienced. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be back with our concluding remarks. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Project Health Podcast. And with it, I challenge you to consider how you exercise and changes you can make in your exercise routine to be healthier. Whether that is increasing the amount of exercise, adding different types of exercise, or even starting to exercise, any amount of activity is better than none. With all the benefits exercise provides, it is essential to living healthy in 2019. Next week, we'll be discussing disease prevention and taking a closer look into how the flu shot and other vaccines work, the chain of infection, viruses versus infections and how antibiotics are involved, and communicable versus non-communicable diseases. For any questions about the show, comments, or suggestions, please feel free to email projecthealthpodcast@gmail.com. Give us a 5-star recommendation on the podcast app to help boost our ratings so more people can learn how to be healthier. And make sure to share this show with your friends, family, people in your classes. Everyone's able to learn new ways to improve their health. I'm looking forward to exploring more health topics in future episodes and helping you all to continue to expand your own health knowledge. I'm Warren Martin, and this has been the Project Health Podcast.